"Where are we going now?" Harry asked. "To the circus. I promised a friend I would pop by one day. And today is one day, isn't it?" At the powerhouse, a small circus troupe had already started the free afternoon performance for a sparse but young and enthusiastic audience. The building had been a power station and a tram hall when Sydney had trams, Andrew elucidated. Now it was functioning as a kind of contemporary museum. A couple of well-built girls had just completed a not very spectacular trapeze number, but had reaped a great round of friendly applause. An enormous guillotine was rolled in as a clown entered the stage. He was wearing a brightly coloured uniform and a striped hat, obviously inspired by the French Revolution. He tripped and got up to all sorts of pranks, to the huge amusement of the children. Then another clown came onto the stage wearing a long white wig, and it gradually dawned on Harry that he was meant to be Louis the 16th. "By unanimous vote, sentenced to death," announced the clown with the striped hat. Soon the condemned man was led to the scaffold, where he, still to the amusement of the children, laid his head, after much screaming and yelling, on the block below the blade. There was a brief roll of the drums, the blade fell, and to everyone's amazement, Harry's included, it cut off the monarch's head with a sound reminiscent of an axe blow in the forest on a bright winter's morning. The head, still bearing the wig, fell and rolled into a basket. The lights went out, and when they were switched back on, the headless king stood in the spotlight with his head under his arm. Now the children's cheering knew no bounds. Then the lights went out again, and when they came back on for the second time, the whole troupe was assembled and bowing, and the performance was over. As people poured toward the exit, Andrew and Harry went backstage. In the makeshift dressing room, the performers were already removing their costumes and makeup.
"Otto, say hi to a friend from Norway,"
Andrew shouted. A face turned. Louis the 16th looked less majestic with makeup smeared over his face and without his wig.
"Well, hello, it's Tuka the Indian."
"Harry, this is Otto Recknagel."
Otto proffered his hand elegantly with a kink in the wrist and looked indignant when Harry, slightly perplexed, made do with a light press.
"No kiss, handsome?"
"Otto thinks he's a woman of noble descent,"
Andrew said to illuminate.
"Stuff and nonsense, Taker. Otto knows very well she's a man. You look confused, handsome. Perhaps you'd like to check for yourself."
Otto emitted a high-pitched chuckle. Harry felt his earlobes go warm. Two false eyelashes fluttered accusingly at Andrew.
"Your friend? Does he talk?"
"Sorry. My name's Harry, Holy.
Clever number out there. Nice costumes. Very lifelike. And unusual."
"The Louis Says number? Unusual? On the contrary, it's an old classic. The first time it was done was by the Yandyshevsky clan family just 2 weeks after the real execution in January 1793. People loved it. People have always loved public executions. Do you know how many reruns there are of the Kennedy assassination on American TV stations every year?"
Harry shook his head. Otto looked up at the ceiling pensively.
"Quite a lot."
"Otto sees himself as the heir of the great Yandy Yandyshevsky," Andrew added.
"Is that so?" Famous clown families were not Harry's area of expertise.
"I don't think your friend here is quite with us, Tuka. The Yandyshevsky family, you see, was a travelling troupe of musical clowns who came to Australia at the beginning of the 20th century and settled here. They ran the circus until Yandy died in 1971. I saw Yandy for the first time when I was 6. From that moment I knew what I wanted to be. And now that's what I am."
Otto smiled a sad clown smile through the makeup.
"How do you two know each other?" Harry asked.
Andrew and Otto exchanged glances. Harry saw their mouths twitch and knew he had committed a gaffe.
"I mean, a policeman and a clown. That's not exactly..."
"It's a long story,"
Andrew said.
"I suppose you could say we grew up together. Otto would have sold his mother for a piece of my arse, of course. But even at a young age, I felt a strange attraction to girls and all those awful hetero things. It must have been something to do with genes and environment. What do you think, Otto?"
Andrew chuckled as he ducked away from Otto's slap.
"You have no style, you have no money, and your ass is overrated," Otto squealed.
Harry gazed round at the others in the troupe. They seemed quite unfazed by the performance. One of the well-built trapeze artists sent him an encouraging wink.
"Harry and I are going up to the Albury tonight," Would you like to join us?
You know very well I don't go there anymore, Tuka.
You should be over that by now, Otto. Life goes on, you know.
Everyone else's life goes on, you mean? Mine stops here, right here. When love dies, I die.
As you wish.
Besides, I have to go home and feed Waldorf. You go, and I may come a bit later.
See you soon, Harry said, putting his lips dutifully to Otto's outstretched hand.
Looking forward to that, handsome Harry.